Taiwanese electronics manufacturer Foxconn has dominated Wisconsin political discourse for weeks. Finally this week, we may see legislative action. The Assembly Committee on Jobs and the Economy is expected to vote on a bill designed to ease Foxconn's path to construct a huge plant.
But concerns about the bill remain high. It comes at a high price, $3 billion in incentives, and others say at a high cost to the environment. The bill frees Foxconn from some state environmental standards.
Lake Effect Susan Benz picks up the story, starting with what the head of Wisconsin's Department of Natural Resources has to say about the bill.
Wisconsin's Natural Resources Board had a full agenda at its meeting last week, but high on its agenda was hearing from Kathy Stepp, Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. The board sets policy for the DNR and wanted to hear Stepp's perspective on the Foxconn bill. Secretary Stepp wanted the board to know her agency is ready to work with the Taiwanese company Foxconn and that she's excited about it. Here's part of what she had to say.
I thought I'd take an opportunity to share with the board what we've been doing at Wisconsin DNR, what we'll be doing going forward, and how we're going to be managing a project of this magnitude, and also maybe potentially addressing a couple of the things that I've been hearing in the media that I think deserve attention and clarification and correction in some cases too. The first thing I wanted to say is there's been some worry that DNR doesn't have the staff or the ability to take on a project of this magnitude. I assure you, nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, really the beauty and serendipity of our alignment plan that we've been working on for the last 2 years have brought us to this point where we stand at the ready. We've got a team project manager that we brought into the department to oversee and kind of be a project superintendent of the permitting processes that will be required. Again, we don't know exactly what permitting processes will be required or which permits will be required because we don't yet know the site, we don't yet know the scale or the impact or the details. But, you know, we've been trying to figure out what if this and what if that and what will our game plan be in order to be able to hit the ground running and make sure that regulatory processes and bureaucracy are not in the way of job creation in Wisconsin and certainly would not be in the way of environmental protection. The other thing I wanted to clarify for everybody is there are no environmental standards that are being rolled back. There are some duplicative processes where we do some things and the federal government does some things in order to streamline again and to be able to make sure we've got good scrutiny on the situation and making sure we put forward sound permits and we're very confident in the value and quality of those permits. We're going to, of course, be evaluating environmental impacts throughout each individual permit that might be required. But the process has been, at least in the proposed legislation, I should say, nothing's done yet, but in the proposed legislation, what they're really trying to do is streamline process, not the actual finished product. So I think that's an important distinction to make as well. So the state, federal air quality, water quality, solid and haz waste standards are going to be required to be met just like they are today. Any impact on wetlands will have to be properly mitigated. In fact, the proposed legislation is calling for more mitigation to be done on this particular project than what's been done before. So there would be more wetland in the ratio of instead of a 1.2 where you've got to create 1.2 acres of new wetlands for every 1 acre impacted, this legislation was calling for 2 acres to be created versus the 1.2, so a much higher standard. Again, Army Corps of Engineers would have a lot of oversight in this project and they would be working through their federal process. Anything in the proposed legislation does not affect that. Whether there's federal or state wetlands involved, again, we will be there to make sure that the proper mitigation standards are going to be met. The other thing, the environmental impact statement, there's been some misinformation out there about what that actually is, and really not requiring an EIS is just about streamlining the process again. An EIS is just kind of an amassing of information from all of the different programs on what they see might be adverse impacts. Those are all things that we can do as we go through each individual permit. So again, the scrutiny is the same, it's just the process is going to be shortened so we can get these jobs going on the ground and still have environmental protection and I would say even enhancement as a result of this project. Our team is ready, we're willing, we're able to do the work. We've got a fantastic group of leaders that are in all of these different permitting programs. Pat Stevens is our very able administrator and Mark Aquino as well. Those are the two areas of the department that are going to be impacted and involved the most on this project. But we are very, very excited. We are very proud of our state. I in particular have kind of a personal pride going on just from being from southeastern Wisconsin, and what an amazing opportunity this is for some of my former constituents from when I was a state senator in Racine. What an opportunity it is to address unemployment and underemployment issues that have been going on a long time in that part of the state as well. It is a gift to us to have the confidence of the company to understand that we're here to work with them in partnership again to protect and enhance the environment and still have job creation. Wisconsin DNR will absolutely prove that that can be done, and this is the project to do it on.
That's Wisconsin's DNR Secretary Kathy Stepp speaking last week to the state's Natural Resources Board about the Foxconn bill. Melissa Scanlon sees nothing to celebrate in the Foxconn bill. She says starting with its wave on wetland protection. Scanlon founded Midwest Environmental Advocates in Madison 18 years ago. Today, she teaches environmental law at Vermont Law School. Although supporters tout the fact that the bill requires Foxconn to create 2 acres of wetland somewhere in the state for every acre it disturbs, Scanlon says the measure doesn't reduce the impact to the wetlands on the Foxconn site. And Scanlon adds, if Foxconn is exempted from state wetlands permits, the 2-for-1 mitigation provisions would only apply to federal wetlands.
When you fill them in, it can increase flooding and property damage. Wetlands filter water, so they're a very important part of maintaining the balance in the ecosystem and ensuring that you are having enough capacity to absorb excess waters that would turn into floodwaters and also filter that water before it gets to Lake Michigan, which is the drinking water for millions of people. And under this proposal, the state wetlands permitting would no longer exist. It would be exempt from state wetlands permitting.
Scanlon disputes DNR Secretary Kathy Stepp's certainty that the Army Corps of Engineers would provide oversight.
There are federal wetlands where jurisdiction would kick in for the federal government, but those have to be navigable or connected to a navigable water. They have to be, quote, waters of the United States. And at this point, that term is litigated.
A short explainer here. Under the Obama administration, the EPA with the Army Corps drafted a regulation to clarify what wetlands and waterways qualify for federal protection.
The Trump administration has subsequently backpedaled, and it is unclear where that's going to end up. Unless there are wetlands on site that are clearly within the federal definition of waters of the United States, there are many wetlands that fall outside that definition. The second point I wanted to make about this is that the push at the federal level has been to minimize the role of the EPA and put the power back to the states to regulate the environment. So for the state of Wisconsin to say, no, we're going to rely on the federal government, who's on first? Really, who's going to be in charge of the environment here?
Chapter 30 of state law sets up protections for Wisconsin's navigable waters and the individual permits to safeguard the environment. Scanlon says the bill exempts Foxconn or any company that locates in the new electronics and information technology manufacturing zone.
Sight unseen, the legislature is being asked to provide exemptions from the state's water laws. And the laws that are being proposed for exemption are those that protect state wetlands, those that prevent the filling of lake beds, permits that are required to reroute streams, permits that are required when you're grading and building on an area that's close to navigable waters, and permits are usually required to prevent topsoil from running off. All of those types of activities would be exempt from state permitting during the construction of the project, but also during the entire operation of that enterprise zone. And the exemptions are not just for Foxconn. Any business that may one day locate within the zone that would be created by the legislation would be exempt as well.
Scanlon has another fundamental concern. She says the Foxconn bill violates the state constitution and one of its core components, the public trust doctrine. Scanlon explains.
Under Wisconsin's constitution, the state has a duty to protect all the waters, and they have carried that out by creating water laws. And courts have said those laws are upholding the public trust doctrine. So under the public trust doctrine, the public has the right to use the state's public waters. And the legislature, as the trustee, has carried out its duty to the public by creating water laws. To exempt a single company from those water laws raises constitutional issues that could make those exemptions subject to challenge in court.
But DNR Secretary Kathy Stepp says her conviction that the Foxconn bill protects and even enhances the environment while serving as a job creator remains unflappable. After last week's Natural Resources Board meeting, Stepp spoke with a group of reporters.
Our permitting team are going to take all the usual worries and concerns that they might have on projects of all sizes. They're very qualified professionals who will be able to evaluate what the risks are. And going forward, that's just what we do every day. There's really nothing new. Sure, the size of this is bigger at one time. I definitely will grant you that, but I'll tell you, we've got the best men and women at Wisconsin DNR that are going to be working on this project through all the different permitting programs. And I know we're going to be working with the company and the consultants for the company on how to do the lesser amount of impact as possible, just like we require of everybody.
Stepp recruited a DNR retiree to come back on board to serve as project manager. You might recognize Eric Ebersberger's name. He led the agency's review of another contentious project, the City of Waukesha's application to tap into Lake Michigan as its drinking water source. For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.